Good morning, everybody. We are live. It is Wednesday. It's the 9th of April, and hopefully your day is off to an excellent start. If it isn't yet, we will try and make it so. We joined in a short while by none other than Tall Ass Mo, who I haven't had on this show for a while, but we actually had him on with the Shady podcast not so long ago either. And he's great. He's got lots of things to say. I laughed so hard at that episode that I said to Flex and James, we need to get him on here at some point. So he'll be joining us shortly. And since it's Wednesday, we'll also be doing the window seat. Get a quick look in to where you can be traveling, what you could be doing, all the exciting things that go along with that. So what's happening today? Well, if you were in the US, you would be completely consumed by the conversation about tariffs, a trade war. What is Trump actually doing? Does he know what he's doing? Do other countries in the world have some off-ramp to deal with him? Are we going to make great deals, tremendous deals, the greatest deals? We're going to be so big and strong, such beautiful signatures we're going to put on those beautiful deals. That's what they're talking about. I mean, it could be very good. It could be very, very bad. And at this stage, it all looks like a whole lot of gray and not terribly much black and white in terms of actually making sense. So we will see. there was a bit of a bloodbath on Monday on the markets, and I've seen in the last couple of hours that, wow, the rand to the pound was something like 25.25. I just want to double check whether it's, I mean, it won't have gotten any better since the markets haven't opened really, but here in South Africa, that is not a good number, especially if you are traveling, and we got to talk about that at some point too. But I do think it's probably quite an interesting thing to think about. Yeah, 25 rand and 25 cents for a pound. That's hectic. You know, imagine you'd booked a trip, a business trip, a family trip or whatever, and you did that last year and you were like, well, maybe it'll get better. Maybe it'll stay the same. Suddenly not. 25.25, not great. But as smarter people than I have said, if you're in the market and you're an investor and you didn't sell in a panic on Sunday or Monday, then guess what? You're okay. You didn't lose anything. You still got the shares, the stocks. Might just be a little less valuable right now. But that's like saying, oh, well, you know, I haven't lost anything in Bitcoin because I never put anything into Bitcoin. So it depends on how much you can handle. And Trump, what is he calling them now? He's calling them panickins. We've got a lot of panickins. People are telling me that the panickins are out there selling all their stocks. I don't know what this means. I'm not going to pretend to be an expert on this stuff. Maybe we'll get to speak to an expert. And then I see our deputy president was caught on film in Waterfall Equestrian Estate, where he lives. He lives in a huge, big house. Nobody's entirely sure who bought it for him or whether he paid for it. But Waterfall Equestrian Estate's got to be one of the most expensive neighborhoods in South Africa. It's, you know, large stands, big mansions. People in there, which is in the name, have horses, hence equestrian. And Paul Mashatile, our deputy president, was caught with his cavalcade driving on the wrong side of the road so that he could get home in a hurry. You know, it's this kind of thing, if you really want to piss people off, and it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 cars that drive in his cavalcade. 7 cars. Imagine multiplying your fuel bill by 7 and then realizing, oh, wait, it's not my fuel bill. It's the people of South Africa's fuel bill. Because I need all those cars. Because as far as I could tell, there are just thousands of people out there just like baying for Paul Mashatile's blood. I don't think most people in this country would even recognize Paul Mashatile if he jumped out of their Rice Krispies and bit them on their titties. But there he is, you know, 7 cars deep in his cavalcade, driving home to his Waterfall Equestrian Estate house. Don't know. This seems to be a thing. These ministers are addicted to bodyguards, cars with blue lights, big mansions, fancy living. We know he likes bottle service at the tables, you know. This guy, he's enjoying capitalism. He really is. And you should, as long as it's your money. In this case, it isn't. I drove yesterday. I had a couple of appointments I had to go to. And I drove yesterday under one of those derelict e-toll gantries. You know the ones. They're all over the highway. And I suddenly was reminded how, despite all of the things that the government wants to do, raise VAT, create more difficult conditions for business, all sorts of other things, I'm reminded that we as people in this country, we actually have a lot of power. And we have the ability to completely ignore these guys if we decide to. We don't have to follow their dumb rules. And civil disobedience has saved us a lot of money in the past. I mean, there were some very dumb people who did pay e-tolls. And we've made fun of them. Leanne Moll, I'm not mentioning any names. But she paid her e-tolls. And I don't know whether it did her any good. I mean, I can only assume it didn't, because she lost the money and she didn't get anything for it, right? It's not as if she suddenly had a better road to travel on than the rest of us. And frankly, they were just levying another illegal tax on us. So despite what they call a legal tax or an illegal tax or a just thing or an unjust thing, it's really up to you to decide. And if enough of us decide we don't like something, we can just ignore them. And that's pretty damn cool. So don't forget it. The power still rests with you. All of that's going on. I also see lots of noise about an interesting chart that was published yesterday. In 1960, they show this chart of Zimbabwe and Botswana, right? So in 1960, they show that Zimbabwe was 4.6 times richer than Botswana. That's in 1960. Then, of course, Zimbabwe went full socialism. They did the land grabs. They did the money printing and a series of government knows best policies. Botswana embraced property rights and free markets. And by 2011, the average Botswana was 6 times richer than the average Zimbabwean. 6 times. So again, to those in government who are talking about, well, we want to take even more from the South African public, all those in South Africa who are saying, I don't know about open free markets or not, well, there's your answer. Really, you don't need anything more than that. So these things happen. Numbers don't lie. And if you're not learning from the past, you're pretty much guaranteed to repeat it. So an interesting chart that's been doing the rounds. Then they've cloned this direwolf. Now, only thing I know about direwolves, and forgive me if this sounds stupid, but I actually didn't know they were a thing. I believe a direwolf is something that was an actual species of wolf. I had no idea. I thought it was just like a bunch of animals on Game of Thrones. But seemingly the direwolf, which we thought was extinct, they've managed to genetically re-engineer and obviously implant the genes into an existing embryo given birth to by a wolf or by some kind of dog. I don't even know the details of this, to be fair. And now it is no longer extinct. They've brought back an extinct species from the brink. Not just from the brink, but having been extinct for thousands of years. They say 10,000 years ago was the last time that one of these things walked the planet. And now they've got two puppies. So is that a good thing? Do you think it's unethical? Do you think it's scary? And I'm saying, let's have a woolly mammoth next, you know? Could be fun. What other extinct species should we bring back? Could we go full Jurassic Park and have a brontosaurus? Maybe a T-Rex? Maybe something even more scary than that? And believe me, there were more things that were scarier than that. We've often discussed on the show those huge flying pterodactyls. Can you imagine? You're just chilling in your car in traffic on the N1 highway this morning, and there's this shadow that comes over your car, and you think, that's a big bird. Then it circles around again, and you hear a screech, and then this fucking thing with a beak as long as three of your cars, like, just scoops up a whole lot of people. And I'm not so sure I like this idea, but there it is. It's all happening. And then there's the ANC, which continues to do stupid stuff. You've got to ask yourself what the hell's going on there, because yesterday all anyone could talk about was, is the GNU over or is it still going to carry on? And it seems to me that neither the ANC nor the DA can actually get out of this. Like, they're both threatening. They're saying, oh, we don't need you, whether it's from the one side or the other. Fikile Mbalula is like yesterday saying, if they want to leave, they must leave. And you've got like John Steenhuisen going, well, if we want to leave, we'll leave. Isn't this like when you invite a couple who you thought were getting along well to your house for a braai or something, and then all they do is bicker and complain about each other? And then when you say, so you two, are you going to get divorced? They're like, no, we still love each other. Don't know about that. We shall have to see what happens. Okay, so quick story that we've got to get to this morning as well. Apparently, March 2025 marked the hottest March on record in Europe, second hottest globally, extending a historic heat streak that began in July 2023. Now, they say it's boring to talk about the weather. I don't think it's much of a debate that in Gauteng, certainly, we've had like the wettest summer that I can remember. We've had more rain since December, not just over March, but pretty much since December than I can ever remember. And maybe my memory's shit. If anyone in the comments can countermand me with something that approaches data or statistics, I'd be very pleased to hear from you. So let me know about that, because clearly there's something going on. Now, whether it's climate change or whether it's just the fact that Johannesburg is like a tropical rainforest now, the whole thing has changed. Gee, you saw they're scrapping Skype in May, apparently. I didn't know that. We're going to get rid of Skype completely. I met one of the guys who was an initial investor in Skype, and I met him in San Francisco probably about 8 years ago. And that company was then still worth millions. That was before COVID even. So I think during COVID, it the value of that company increased. Now they're scrapping it. I know it was bought. I think it was bought by like Microsoft or something. Anyway, Gareth, when are you going back to writing your blog, says Mary. Actually, since you raised that, I have been thinking about that. And I was thinking the first one I should do is something to do with the overlap between what politics will look like in the age of AI and how you're not going to be able to lie anymore, or lying will become more difficult in the world of AI, which for some politicians is terrible news because all they're good at is lying. But yeah, I'm thinking about that very seriously, and I will keep you updated. Something's going to happen before the end of April, and I'll give you more info as soon as I can. All right, Judas says, good morning, 6:04 a.m., and it's dark outside. Well, it's now 6:15 a.m., Judas, but yeah, it is. It's cold and dark outside, and it's definitely, I mean, summer's gone. Forget about it. A true comrade would add 7 more cars than Paul Mashatile's got because he's not paying. Well, 7 seems like a lot of cars for a guy who really, like, what is Paul Mashatile doing? What does he do every day? Can you tell me 5 things that he does? You remember Elon's famous 5 things you did this week email? If you had to ask Paul Mashatile to tell you what he got up to, just 5 things he did this week, do you think he could tell you? Do you have any idea? Is there something in government that you could point to and go, ah, that's the work of Paul Mashatile? Anything. I'll give you a couple of minutes to think about it. And then I'm still getting shit from people who say that I shouldn't have paid my TV license. Bitcoin But says, don't pay your tax like a TV license. Fine, fair enough. How about Colossal Biotech bringing the dire wolf back to life? Yeah, I've just spoken about this, Dirk. They were born last year, but only announced now. They used 13,000, it's not even 10,000. According to Dirk, it's 13,000-year-old DNA to sequence it and used AI to do the sequencing, which is phenomenal. I'm telling you, this is a very, very exciting time to be alive. I've believed that for 20 years, and so far I have not been disappointed. Direwolves are alive, says Signet. Winter is coming. Which is funny. Okay. They made a woolly mouse and they used mammoth DNA. What do you need a woolly mouse? This is like Paul Mashatile. What's the use of it? What does it do, right? A woolly mouse? No. Woolly mammoth? Sure. Then bring back the masculine man. Well, I don't know if the DNA is still around for that. If we're going to bring back anything or anyone, let it be Madiba. We have useless dinosaurs already, says Vyasin. I don't think he wants to come back. I mean, given half a chance, if you had died in 2013 and I said to you, now you have to come back and fix this country, look how much more they've fucked up since 2013. I don't think he wants back. I think leave the man alone. Bring back Jesus and take him to the club. Get him a girlfriend and a wife so he can make Jesus babies, says Mapelo. You're very, very blasphemous in the opinion of some people, I'd think. How can a 10,000-year-old DNA be brought back, though? Lab DNA manipulation? Well, Judas, we could find DNA samples in fossils. Well, not fossils necessarily, because fossils are petrified bone. But you can find in, you know, in the Jurassic Park example, in amber, you would find very, very, very old DNA that would mostly, if you find the right sample, you'd be able to ascertain some parts of the DNA structure. Now, using machine learning and using the incredible computing abilities of so many of these machines, you'd be able to put together a fairly robust, fairly accurate version of whatever the chromosomes in that ancient sample might be. And you could then, through gene editing, which is already something which we're becoming better and better at, you'd be able to insert essentially new genes into living DNA. So they would take modern wolves, for example. I'd imagine that's the closest, although I stand to be corrected. And then you would introduce the new genes into the living wolf DNA, the new genes being the very old genes of the direwolf. And then you'd be able to create something which may or may not be able to grow inside the womb of a modern wolf. I mean, it's wild. It's just absolutely incredible. TP says, Buddha here in Brits are suffering without the sun. Crops getting way too much water. Yeah, look, it seems scary to me that obviously we have all this rain and there are good and bad things about that. But one of the big problems is that when you have too much rain, then it can affect agriculture negatively, just like too little rain can. And it's not even funny. Like Johannesburg has turned, the climate here is now tropical. That's what it is. Let's just take a look at one or two of these comments quickly. Henny says, Durban's annual rainfall is between 1,000 and 1,200 millimeters. We've already had more than 700 millimeters and we're 3 months into 2025. Listen, it's crazy. It really is. South Africans are really can really tolerate nonsense from these politicians. We know when they start, where they stay. Go figure. Yeah. I saw Paul Mashatile and about 8 of his family members at Signature a few years ago. It's about 1,000 rand a head for a meal there. Proper socialist, that guy. And Sango saying, we don't have potholes, we have swimming pools. Yes. I have to drive so carefully a couple of roads now where I know the potholes. It's almost like burnt into my memory. So now I know where to avoid them. And I'm pretty good at it. I'm driving like a Formula One driver. It's phenomenal. Okay, then Mapelo says, what does he say here? Oh, no, it's Yonder. Sorry, Yonder says, the Earth and our galaxy move through hot and dense areas in the universe. Our sun also gets hotter and hotter, so of course we will have fluctuating weather and extremeness. You sound like a climate denier, but let's not get into that. Tall-ass Mo is here. I'm so happy to see you, dude.
I'm happy to see you, too.
What happened to you?
What happened to me?
Mm.
What, this morning?
Yeah, I mean, we were going to start at 6, but it's fine.
you guys, today I was actually at my mother's house. So
they had to pick me up all the way in the East Rand.
Sorry.
Yeah.
That's a terrible place for your mother to live.
Yeah, no.
Where's she in the East Rand?
Benoni, Kempton Park.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, man. Born and raised.
How are you?
I'm blessed.
Yeah, you.
Listen, it's a beautiful morning. Good morning to everybody out there, man.
Dude, you did the funniest episode with the Shady Guys with Warris and PH. I loved it so much. I laughed from beginning to end. And I suddenly remembered, like, yeah. You are absolutely one of South Africa's funniest people.
Yeah,
and no
you,
one
bro.
Else, no one since has even come close.
Oh, man. I guess that's why I'm an Emmy-nominated stand-up comedian.
You there got we go. Me? I didn't introduce you properly. So, ladies and gentlemen, the Emmy-nominated stand-up comedian and South African homegrown talent, Tall-Ass Mo.
Good morning. It's a wonderful morning. It's a beautiful day. I got a wonderful feeling. Everything's going my way.
I love it. Oh, dude. Yeah. I was just talking about these. They've brought back this wolf that they thought was extinct with 13,000-year-old DNA.
That's crazy. They did it with the woolly mammoth first.
Well,
bro.
I think they tried. They haven't actually made one.
Uh-huh.
They made like a woolly mouse.
But, it didn't work out.
No, but apparently they're working on the woolly mammoth. I don't know. I'm just scared that they decide to bring back some serious-ass dinosaurs.
Dude.
That would be...
Imagine
they let those things loose. Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
That'll activate some primal shitness. You want to see people running and screaming. Just give them a...
But don't you think the politicians have got a bit of, like, you know, dinosaur DNA? Like, especially, you know, the guys
the
at the...
dinosaurs at the of the old regime.
Yeah, they've got T-Rex arms. They can't reach with their pockets. Oh, I'm trying to pay the client.
But no, they've got very long arms because they can reach into yours.
Oh, my gosh.
That's what they're doing. Sons of bitches.
Yeah, man.
But you remember how they used to call... like right after 94, they'd say, the dinosaurs of the old regime.
Yes.
When they were talking about the Nationalist Party, right?
Yeah, now. So who now, are the dinosaurs now?
Well, the funny thing is, whenever my dad starts talking about, the old days, I say, you are a dinosaur of the old regime. Yo, he gets cross. Still, to this day, it works.
I think that scientists right now, like, you know, discovering some crazy shit, Gareth. I mean, first and foremost, you remember they found that zombie bacteria and then
Jesus, I'm scared of that stuff,
and then the
man.
Scientist injected himself with that shit, right?
Yeah, but a guy like that must be kept in Antarctica.
No, he's insane, bro. It's insane. So I think that these guys trying to bring back prehistoric animals is like it's a freak force of nature. I think they were wiped out for a reason.
I don't know about you, but I do this with a lot of my friends. We actually talk about the zombie apocalypse a lot.
Listen here, Gareth. If you want to survive the apocalypse, bro, you better be friends with me.
You have to have a plan.
No,
you have to have a plan.
I'm a doomsday prepper, sort of like kind of vibe. Yeah? My
really?
Grandmother's always been.
Because I remember when you were living on those small holdings in Pretoria.
Yes, at a farm.
Yeah, and you had like, you had guns.
Yes.
You had all kinds of shit going on there.
Yeah.
You still doing that?
I'm still hunting, yeah.
Tell you what, during the zombie apocalypse, you're a good guy to know.
No, definitely. And I'm a gamer as well. So listen here, bro. There's nothing I don't know about zombies, bro. You know, headshots, baseball bats. There's a game called Dead or Alive.
Yeah?
Yeah, I've played all three versions from PlayStation 2 all the way to the latest version now, which really sucks, bro.
This is your prep.
Yeah, that's my prep, my bro.
I think that there are very few guys that I've ever met who, when they're with their friends, don't talk about like who would be on their zombie apocalypse team, what they need, where they would go first, what they would try to secure, who they'd feed to the zombies.
Secure the mall first, bro. That's
the mall.
Yeah. Secure the mall.
Pharmacies?
Yeah.
No, let's get into this because pharmacies, supermarkets, obviously, that's not going to last long because the fresh stuff's not
going to die out.
But you want cans of stuff.
Macro.
You want guns.
Yes. You have to lock it down.
Macro is a good one. You'd have to defend.
I didn't know it was a good idea.
So you'd need to defend macro, but that would be a good place to, if you could own that.
Yeah, no, you're nice.
Oh,
for
then
quite
you're
some
good.
Time.
Yeah, yeah, I reckon.
Yeah, live on noodles.
And then
all
you
time.
Would need, you'd need a place where you could watch what was going on all around you because other people are scarier than zombies, right?
True.
So you need a place that's high up where you only have one access point.
Northcliff. Yeah, but the water tower.
Because the other side is like Shira.
Oh, shit. Yeah, no, the other side is not proper. But you can see everything. You can see the whole situation. You can see that those hordes of zombies just rushing up the mountain like, oh, man.
And you'd be able to see where they were like burning down the rest of the city.
Damn straight. You can see everything from there.
Avoid those areas
space.
Wherever there are fires, you know, stay away.
Yeah, definitely. Stay away from the township. I don't think, actually, come to the township because zombies, I don't think they'll reach.
I know, they're a bit scared of the township. Even the government was scared of the township during COVID, remember? They didn't go in there. They didn't fuck with that stuff.
Not at all.
You would have to raid police stations. Oh, wait, says Duncan. Yeah.
But they don't have guns, bruh. They get robbed all the time anyway. So what are we going to find, bruh?
Apparently, Jason says if you attack the SARS building, that's a good place. Because even the zombies will try to avoid their taxes. Oh, man.
James. Is it Jason? Jason Styles? No, definitely. Zombies don't have to pay tax. Huh?
No. So what's been happening with you? What are you up to?
Gareth.
No, give me a little update.
Gaming space.
I saw you talking about this on X yesterday.
Yes. Oh. So basically what we do is, I'm a fourth industrial revolutionist over and above me being a comedian and a former restaurateur. I'm no longer in that restaurant business. I had to get out of that stuff.
What? Yeah.
It's a really cutthroat business,
that is
bro.
Such a tough business,
bro. Worrying about chicken wings and shit, ribs. Oh, my God. And the cannabis at the same time. It's like, what? Yo, man, I can't do it, bro. I couldn't do it anymore, man. Just a little bit too hectic. So I went back to my passion business. I opened this business in 2018.
Yeah.
So it's something that I've been running, like, you know, but not really putting my full energy into it.
Yeah.
So right now, I've put in my full energy into it. The reason why I'm staying at my mother's house in Tembisa right now is because one of my grandfather's factories was left to me. So I've taken over the factory.
Okay.
So we're busy doing renovations for the past 7 days. We started actually on the 1st of April. So today is what, the 6th or the 7th
day? What kinds of stuff do they make in this factory?
We refurbish, build, and service arcade machines, pinballs, snooker tables.
You are kidding. That is fantastic.
Bro, you must check my collection of pinball tables.
Oh, but yeah. Also, what a great business to be in, because there are places all over South Africa where that is what people want to do.
True.
You know, people are desperate for entertainment. They want to do something. And many people, they don't want to play games on their own at home.
Yes.
They'd rather be with their friends doing it somewhere where they can enjoy each other's
company.
Yeah,
of course. What we do with the gaming is that we don't just only focus on renting, selling, and hiring the machines. Yeah. What we also do, we look at lifestyle and eventing as well. So, for example, our latest gig was with DJ Zintle and Morda. Mm. They had an event called The Vault, where Zintle, like, you know, at the Aero House, she does a whole setup in the back garden. Yeah. And, like, you know, there's different vibes going on. There's a bar. Cavassier was there. And Morda was releasing his new album. And he was selling his clothes. And then he had Zinta's got, like, a beautiful Wendy house in the back of her garden. So she booked me to turn that into a man cave, like, where we could put in games and stuff like that.
Cool.
Arcade machines, PlayStation 5s, all that stuff. And I bring all my retros, because I still have my golden china from when I was 6.
So I remember when I was a kid, we used to go... my parents would go to some restaurant, and then the kids, we would go and play arcade games.
Because
There was one.
It has to be Spur.
I can't remember where it was.
No, back in the day. Honestly, just Bimbos.
But something like that.
Yeah.
But I remember there was one of those old ones with the joystick and the four buttons.
Yes, you remember that's the ones I built.
There was a game called Double Dragon.
Yeah.
Remember that shit?
I had that on Nintendo and Atari, bro.
I loved that game so much. You like fight.
Yes, you have to go rescue the girl.
You have to go and rescue this chick from these bad guys. But it was such a lot of fun. And I mean, you just never had enough money to keep playing.
No, you don't. The credit system on those arcade machines, I think in America, they kind of warned those machines off because it kind of encouraged gambling for kids as well.
Yeah, but also... I mean,
steal your mom's change.
If I think about how long ago it was that I played on an arcade game like that, that was probably like the currency before.
Yeah, just 20 cent coins, bro. The big silver one.
The big silver one.
Yes, bro.
Can you still make those?
Yes, I can.
Oh, that's cool.
Look, dude, I should actually build you guys an arcade machine.
That would be so cool. Yeah.
You know what? The crazy thing is that I've learned the system so well. Actually, I was mentored by a guy called George Tivas.
Yeah,
and George Tivas has been in the coining and vending machine business for generations. Like, his family has, like, handed it over. Like, his great granddad was one of the first people to create those, you know, those machines at Magic Company.
Yes,
the ones that push the coins.
Yeah,
like that.
Of course.
He's behind that. So it's called the Gravitas. So they use like a Gravitas system, and
I love that.
It rips you off, bruh.
Of course it does.
Yeah, no, you never
have
win.
Have you seen
those
that
things.
TV show where they have like a big monster fucking version of that?
Yes.
Called it's on some English TV show.
Uh-huh.
Again, they have these big fat coins, and these things come down, and you have to try and aim it, and then it's meant to knock all the other coins
out. You never win that shit, bro.
Because it's like magnetized or some shit. They've got it. It's cheating somehow, right?
So his dad, George, Mr. Tivas, the first.
Yeah.
Basically, he created this crazy gambling machine, right? Where it's like a Perspex board that has got like little clips that stick out like that, and you have to haul your coin in.
Yeah.
Then the coin hits the things, and then wherever it lands is where you get your prize. So they started out with that thing back in Hillbrow back in the day, and then that thing started popping off. They started building arcade machines, got into snooker tables and so forth. So I actually I chilled with George for a good 5 to 7 years, bro, like learning his business, bro.
Wow.
Yeah, learning his business, and he was teaching me how
to. Now you got this factory, so you can make shit like this.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
Yeah, and we're currently, like right now, it's like we're planning on opening the factory end of April. We want to open our doors end of April, but we also a community outreach program. So we teach the local local community members how to build these arcade machines, how to make them for themselves for business. At the same time, we're giving them an entrepreneurial spirit that, yo, listen.
So what are the rules? Because, I mean, as I understand it, like some of these vending machines stroke playing machines, stroke arcade machines.
Yeah.
I mean, some of it is technically, like you said, gambling.
That's why in South
Africa.
Are
there rules about it? Because, I mean, gambling is everywhere, right?
Yes,
you see people who during their lunch hour will go to one of these gambling establishment and they like put 50 bucks on this, the 20 rand there.
Yeah.
You know, it's not rich people.
Yes, it's not.
It's not like people betting 100,000 rand and losing it in some fancy casino.
Yes, it's the 50s,
this is
the
like
100s,
a little
the 20s.
Bit, but everyone is doing it.
It's a multi-million rand business. Now, let me explain something. When we registered back in 2017 as a gaming business, CIPC kicked our registration back. We reapplied again and kicked it back. And then we had to do further more inquiry as to why is our gaming company not being registered. Then they came back to us to say that the word gaming, any company with the name gaming affiliated to it, needs to have a gambling license. Because in South Africa, gaming is considered betting. Gaming is gambling.
Because so they don't call anything what it really is.
Exactly.
I mean, for fuck's sake, we've got a word for that. It's called gambling. Why did you lose gambling. The B, right? Why'd you throw the B out, you sons of bitches? Because you did that. You know, it's called
the
Gauteng Gambling Board. But then they call it gaming.
Gaming now, yeah.
Stop it.
So we couldn't register at
all. Isn't gaming what you do on the
PlayStation? Yes. That's what it is. People, right?
These guys, AI must come and take over our government.
Sorry,
seriously, it's CIPC. You know what the CIPC is? What is that? The people you have to register your company with and all of that. What the fuck are they doing renaming stuff?
Dude, so I had to go to...
Nobody even knows what CIPC stands for.
I don't know, right? I don't know. I had to go to the National Gambling Board.
Oh, you're
right?
Joking.
And I had to kick doors down, bro. I'm like, listen, yeah, my kids, we are registering our company as a gaming company because internationally, gaming is still
That's
gaming.
That's right. Yes.
It's not gambling.
No.
So how am I supposed to affiliate with international companies or participate in tournaments if I don't own a gaming company? So they wrote us a letter that exempted us from the word gaming, that we are actually the real game.
So you had to get some government official to stamp something.
National Gambling Board, correct.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, and we also had
and
to...
I'm sure it cost you money.
Yes, it did.
Oh, my God.
We also actually stood up in Parliament. In 2019, we were part of the Department of Telecommunications and Postal Services.
People watching this are going, no, it can't be Mo. He just talks shit and makes people laugh. Yeah. Here you are going to Parliament and sending letters to the CIPC and the
Gaming Board.
Dude,
you fucking went to Parliament to Thibaut Touch to fight for data.
I did.
You wanted to make data 5 rand, and then I don't know what the hell happened. Then,
well, they ignored us.
They ignored you guys.
They ignored us.
Because it just ended up oh, and I was actually with you guys then. I was at the Cliff...
Cliff Central, yeah.
Cliff Central, yes. Yeah. When you guys were fighting for... data must be reduced.
No, so we went, and you know who it was? It was that Minister Kubai, who I don't know if she's still around or not, but she was like, oh, it's nice to have you guys here. She was all very sweet, and then as soon as we walked out, she ignored
it. It's over.
Yeah, it's over.
That's what I realized as
fucking
well.
Like, politicians.
If you get a politician's number, trust you me, call it tomorrow. Yeah. You will not get through. It happened to Gaten McKenzie. I met Gaten McKenzie just the other fucking day.
He doesn't return calls
anymore. No, he doesn't, bro. Mm-mm. And he's...
and you got to get a stamp and a letter like you did with a gambling board. Gaming, gambling.
Yeah.
Yes.
They put those things right next to each other. Now, the problem is this. In the townships, there's this new gaming machine that has come out that the Pakistanis, the Somalians, all these small establishment tuck shops they use, and they've got like... small jackpot, 200 rand, 500 rand jackpots. But there's no age restriction as to who can play this
thing. The kids are doing it.
Yeah. During break, bro. After school, you get like kids in school uniform, freaking addicted to gambling on these machines.
Listen, if you can get people when they're at that age,
anywhere
between 10 and 16,
you
got them for life.
For
whether
life,
whether it's cigarettes, whether it's vapes, whether it's...
Yeah.
Booze, whether it's gambling, whether it's sex, they get addicted for life.
Look at me, cigarettes, man. I fell in love with cigarettes when I was, the age of 9. I started smoking at 9 because I saw those Lexington ads.
Are you still on there?
Yes, I still smoke.
Still smoke.
Yeah, I would never vape, man. That shit is, nah, man.
Okay, so that's interesting because I started kind of casually vaping at New Year, last year, this year.
And?
Well, no, I mean, I'm not going out and buying one every week.
Yeah.
But I find it's something to do.
Yeah, feeling.
You know, like I'm one of those unfortunate, fucked up people who I've got to have more than one thing to do at a time.
Yes, I feel.
You know, it's like those people who click a pen, or those people who they can pretend. I'm not very good at multitasking.
Yeah.
They can pretend to be emailing at the same time as they're in a meeting.
No, I can't do that.
But I need to be doing more than one thing at a time, which is why actually I love this show, because I can sit here and I'm totally focused for 2 hours.
I feel you.
That I can manage.
Yeah.
But it's because there's so much happening, right?
Okay,
I'm listening to you. I'm thinking, what are we going to do next?
The comments online.
Got comments coming in. We've got all sorts of stuff happening.
I feel you.
So it feels like you're plugged in.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I'm sitting in a meeting and people are talking boring shit,
I
literally feel myself like falling asleep.
Oh man,
all the time.
I must get you a handheld, bro. You still remember Game Boy Advance? Game Boy?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so those are back now, but they've put a different operating system.
You can't sit there in a meeting doing that. People actually will think you're very, you know.
Yeah, you're right.
That's disruptive and rude. And
if it's a Zoom, then fuck them. Just
that made a lot of us, especially those of us who do struggle to concentrate. You're one of those
as well. Yes, bro. I really have a big time struggling concentrating. That's why I've never played. I've turned down a lot of acting roles because I get extremely bored playing the same guy over and over.
Really?
Yeah, like 21 days playing the same guy.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck out of here, bro.
So like soaps or whatever.
Yeah, no ways, bro. Ah, no. That's like, it's proper 9-to-5 in yourself now, bro. It's like, why are you going to do that? You're a freelancer, bro. You're supposed to live a free life. You shouldn't feel like you're locked down to a routine unless it's your own thing.
Yeah, if you choose it.
Yeah, sure. If it's your own thing, then fuck it. That's all into sketches.
So to go back, you still smoke.
Yeah.
And the same brand?
Same brand. No, actually, no.
You changed
brand? When I started
brand?
Smoking cigarettes, I was smoking Rothmans Red.
Rothmans of Pall Mall.
Yes. Then I tried Stuyvesant Red, and all my friends were like, oh, you're smoking Garden Boy cigarettes. I'm like, oh, fuck this shit. Threw that away.
Oh,
and then,
is that what those are?
Yeah, they're called Garden Boy cigarettes. Yeah, it's very cruel shit to say. But anyway, then I went on to Lexington because ads.
That's the one.
The ads were so super dope. And Camel as well. You get that guy with the 5 o'clock shave. And
yeah, he was a real crusty man, that Camel.
Yeah,
man.
He was fucking real sunburned, skin flaky, fucking walking through a desert. Punches a camel.
Yeah, no one fucked with the Camel man.
No one fucked with the Camel man. So, I mean, I grew up in that era. I mean, I grew up watching Lucky Luke. He could roll a joint with one hand.
Do you remember when cigarettes were everywhere?
Everywhere.
They were on planes.
Yeah, I could smoke an airplane.
There were cigarettes in restaurants. People would have cigarettes
everywhere. In school, my teacher used to smoke in the classroom.
Oh, yeah. We had a headmaster in primary school. That guy, he had such a habit.
Yeah.
He went through a pack and a half a day.
Yeah, it's possible. And would he leave it in his ashtray and let the smoke just...
Oh, no. He'd only put his cigarette down to give you a fucking smack with a cane. He'd give us a hiding. His name was Mr. Stride. And he'd stand there in assembly and he'd go... like a real old smoker's cough. And the guy...
I've got that too.
He'd smoke during... like he gave us a couple of classes as well. And he'd smoke the whole way through class.
Yeah, he didn't give a shit. Bro.
Like none of those kids were going, we've got secondhand smoke. Yeah, I can't.
The environment.
Mr. Stride, please put out your cigarette. He would have put it out in your eye, man. Fuck.
Yeah, man. That was the 90s, man. And can I tell you something crazy, bro? My family moved to Kempton Park in 1990.
Yeah.
Right? And that was still like in the heat of shit.
Yeah, of course.
And my cousins and I were the first black people in Kempton Park Primary.
Jesus.
So I got my cousin and I in the neighborhood who are the same age are in grade one. Then I got my aunts and uncles who are in like standard one, standard three at the time in Kempton Park Primary. And dude, every single day walking back and forth from school was a fucking nightmare.
Yeah.
The kids from Yuchland High would, you know, they're all, I don't know what it is, but
and the fucking
kids,
dogs.
They all got scooters.
And the dogs.
And the dogs as well.
People underestimate the dogs.
Jesus, bro. And they don't mind letting those fuckers out, eh?
Yeah. No, if you were a black man in the 90s, walking through the suburbs, because those dogs weren't like behind, there were no gates and walls
the fence,
there. Fucking thing would run. Yeah.
Jump over. Oh, my gosh. Man, I grew up hard. Oh, man. I grew up hard, bro. And then my grandfather was like, because we'd come back to my grandfather and tell him, like, yo, listen, we need to go back to the hood, yo. This is not life, dog. This is not life, bro. We're getting bullied every day. We're getting Then my grandfather's like, no, fuck you guys. Then I'll take you out of Kempton Park Primary. Then he took us to Sagewood.
Which is?
Sagewood is all the way in Midrand, in Noordwijk. Shit. So we studied in Sagewood. And then when we got to Sagewood, we realized, like, only halfway through the year, there's a fucking Hindu school. So here we are, fucking meditating. We're Christians. Fucking giving fruits to
you.
Hare Krishna.
So you were making offerings. That's so funny.
My parents were wondering, why is it that you guys have to bring fruits every day? I'm like, shit, we don't even eat the fucking fruits.
You put them there.
We put them there and watch them rot, bro. Yeah,
that's so great.
And they taught us like secret words. Like we had a meditation room, and they said you can levitate if you focus on and you think that, oh, I'm fucking floating. My friends would lie to me, dude. My eyes would close. I fucking swear to you, I levitated, dude. And then the worst thing fucking happens, right? End of the year, like all the time at Sage, we'd have concerts and shit.
Hmm.
So that year, for some reason, they decided to book fucking PJ Powers. Okay? Of all the people in the world, bro. Fucking PJ Powers. Dude, we think we're going to get some crazy artists, and the principal's like, are you ready for PJ Powers?
Tandega. You remember? All the people sing and dance. Chabulani.
We booed her, bro. We booed her off stage, bro. The whole primary school got to teach, like, you never ever disrespect visitors like that. But like, fuck. PJ Powers, bro. Nah, bro. Hold on. And the funny thing is, right? Later on in life, how the world does a 360.
So great.
Later on in life, I did a commercial with PJ Powers, Joe Mafela.
Yeah.
Hostess
Did you tell
Mahuza.
Her the story?
I told her the story.
Did she laugh?
Like a motherfucker.
Yeah, I'm sure.
She's and she funny. Remembers performing at Sagewood and getting booed off by all these fucking primary kids.
I'm sure she's over it, but still.
Yeah, man.
She's got a great sense of humor.
She
you
is.
Know?
And she's still performing to this day. I was with her actually at the Gaten McKenzie gig. He did some. Gaten McKenzie did some event celebrating 21 years of boxing in South Africa.
Okay.
And he was giving away some really stupid shit. We are going to give away the belts for all the guys that won a match but didn't get a belt. To all the referees that gone to the fucking ring without a referee's t-shirt. We have printed out.
This is the shit he was doing.
Bro. Bro, this is other boxer. This is other boxer legend guy. He's been boxing for fucking years. Nobody knows him. He looks like fucking Frank Sinatra. Like, he's got that look. He's got the hat, everything. And he's like a legend, whatever. And they bring him up on the stage. They're like, we are going to give this legend here 10,000 rand right now. Then his PA comes, does the transfer. Then the PA is like,
oh no,
here's the transfer.
It's so embarrassing,
bro.
Yes, sis.
It was extremely embarrassing, bro. For me, it was like, and I'm like, dude, if the Department of Arts, Sports and Culture is still tackling stuff like that, like
handing
out t-shirts
out t-shirts and 10,000 rand.
Nah, bro.
I mean, it's embarrassing, right? And then you hear, and I wanted to know what you thought of this, because it was in the news on Monday.
Yeah.
It's like some other South African artist died penniless the other day, and there was a like fundraiser held for them. I mean, it's so sad that these people who've been singers, actors, performers, they obviously can't look after whatever money they made when they were making it.
Yeah.
But also, there isn't that much money in entertainment in this country. We always expect that our artists are going to retire like they're a Hollywood superstar.
Yes.
They don't have that kind of money.
PJ Powers is still fucking performing to this day.
Exactly.
She was at that Gaten McKenzie gig. I saw her again. I give her a hug. She's like, oh, don't hold me like that. I'm like, why? It's like, I've got a spinal cord operation. I've got fucking five plates going into my back. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing here? PJ's way past your bedtime, bro.
She's great. You know what? We must get her in here at some
we
point.
Should,
James.
Bro.
She's
we
lots
should,
of fun.
Kid. She's a legend, bro. She is a legend.
I remember her telling me that when she was, because she had severe, like, alcoholic addiction, right?
Yeah.
And she was, like, spraying hairspray into her mouth.
It's crazy.
Because they'd hidden all the alcohol from her.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, yes, sis.
When she told me those stories, bro, like, I couldn't believe it, bro. Because we did an ad together. We were the first faces of Mzansi Magic. The concept was
that.
Called, yeah, Mzansi, from Fantuka to the future. So there's Joe Mafela and all the legends handing over to who they think is next, you know? So Joe Mafela handed to me, PJ Powers handed to some, to Hailey Ray, Bailey Ray. I don't remember what the girl's artist name. Beautiful Caucasian girl. You must
a Caucasian girl.
Call me. And then, then everybody else, all the legends were handing over to other people.
You know, there's a guy at my gym who looks exactly like Joe Mafella.
That's crazy, bro.
Yeah.
Does he get, like, you know,
shout-outs? He even puts the comb. You remember how Joe Mafella used to put that comb in his head?
Yeah, bro.
Oh, man.
I miss that guy, bro.
Yeah,
actually, now the Comics Choice Awards has got a Joe Mafella Legendary Award for vernacular comedians. Yeah.
Now, you've pretty much won all the awards you can win in comedy.
Nah.
No, not really. You have.
I just don't participate in the Comics Choice Awards, bro.
Yeah, like, but that's become
it's redundant, bro.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't make any sense.
But
for
you
me.
Did in the time
in the beginning.
You won. Yeah.
Yes, in the beginning, definitely. When John Flismus left and Tafia left, I was like, "Fuck it." I think I've done my.
So who
my
do you shit. Rate at the moment? Come, let's get
right
serious
now.
Here. Yeah, right now. Who do you rate now? Because you know more about what's going on than I. What's that, James? Oh shit! Hang on, hold that thought. Mm. You want to hear who tall ass? No. We'll get to it. Mm. Tolasmo, you want to hear who he thinks is worth paying attention to in comedy? You're going to have to stick around for a little bit. We do this thing on a Wednesday every mm-hmm. second week where we do the window seat. We travel.
Oh,
so shit. We're going to go traveling now. So you want to hear about this? All right, let's pay attention now, Mo.
Okay.
This is very important. So we've got someone called Tom, who's the operations manager at Wild Horizons in Cape Town. Mm-hmm. So this is what they do. You know, they do the helicopter things that you can go abseiling, you can go to the waterfront, you can go shark cage diving.
Shit. Wait.
You heard of these, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. So let's take a look. Because here is Thomas to talk to us. Hey Thomas, how are you?
Hi, good and yourself?
Nice to see you, man. Mo says he thinks he knows what we're talking about here, but I've actually seen some of your activities that you guys do, and it's phenomenal. I've also been to the Wild Horizons at Victoria Falls, which is also amazing. But in Cape Town, you guys have got some tremendous stuff here. And by the way, Mo, just so that you and everybody else knows, you have been involved in mountain guiding. You're a paramedic, an adventure tourism specialist.
Shit.
You also focus on high-risk activities, which I think a lot of people absolutely love. And your goal is to deliver thrilling and unforgettable experiences while maintaining a strong emphasis on safety. So let's go straight to the...
What are you, Bear Grylls?
Yeah, he's like...
Blood.
He is like Bear Grylls. So let's go straight to the three Wild Horizons Cape Town adventures, and you can tell us about some of these high-risk activities.
Cool. So I'll start off with probably the most fun, in my opinion, is Cape Town Abseil.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. It is a commercial rappelling business down a cliff face on Table Mountain, the iconic Table Mountain.
Yeah.
And you rappel down 112 meters down a cliff face. So thrill seeking, fantastic views of the Camps Bay area as you go down the cliff face.
Give us the demographics of the people that go down that cliff. Really, really. Really, I know it's 20%, 20% black, 80% Caucasian. Really. Because I'm not doing that shit, my guy. You know, I can't. Really, really. Off a cliff.
It is pretty scary, though, huh? I mean, 100 meters, 100 and how many meters?
Huh? It's 112 meters, but the exposure looks worse because we're starting at about 1,065 meters. So it looks a lot worse.
He's not making it better for me.
Start off, but it's extremely fun. It's a three-tier abseil. So you start off the cliff face, a little rock step, another cliff face, and then there's a 50-meter section where there's no rock at all.
So the demographic I'm interested in is how many women want to do this?
So you'll be actually surprised. We have actually more women clients than men.
Win.
And also, most of the women are over the age of 40.
No ways. You got old bags going down there and rappelling off the cliff face.
Women are brave now. They don't care.
They don't care anymore.
Fuck you, men. We can do it. Throw me off the cliff, Gareth.
All right. So, I mean, that's pretty wild. I love this. And, of course, your view from up there must be extraordinary, right? You get to see everything.
Yes. It's spectacular. So you look over the ocean. You can see Robben Island on the distance, Lion's Head, and then the 12 Apostles on your right hand side. So it's a spectacular view. You can't beat it. Honestly, you can't beat it. And it's on that iconic seventh wonder of the world.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's Table Mountain. Everybody knows it. And very few people, I think, have gone up and down it this way. So that's pretty exciting. How do you get up there to start this?
So you would have to, obviously, you got two options. Either you can hike up. Yeah. So that's a more adventurous option. Mm-hmm. Always would recommend that. Or you could take the cable car to the top.
Okay.
I'll definitely hike up the top, bro. I think it's a much more fun experience.
Okay, well, I'll take the cable car because I'll be so tired by the top there, I wouldn't want to come down.
No, and I'm a Sangoma as well, so I might come across some hebs.
No, you are. People don't know this about Tolas. He's also a Sangoma.
Yes.
Okay, but Thomas, now let's just talk about this because kids, and I do want to move on to the other ones as well, but my nephews are 8 and 10, and they go to these wall climbing things.
Oh, yeah.
These rock climbing things. They know how to do this.
Popular now,
they know how to do this rappelling thing, and I think they would be better than me at this stuff. Is there a lowest age limit for people doing this?
So we don't have a low age limit. It's basically based on your size. So if you can fit correctly into our smallest harness, you could do the activity. Basically, normally we say it's around about 40 kilograms and above. That just allows us to obviously make sure you can definitely fit into our extra small harness. But if obviously your kid is small enough or you require like a really small harness, we can obviously bring that in, but that's only on special request.
What about the fat ones?
Gary, what the
hell? Our harness braking strength is actually 2.5 tons. So it'll be able to take, basically, if you can fit into the harness, we'll send you down.
I win.
My fat level.
Yeah. That's crazy. That's you know what, gentle brother? I don't know if you also do the helicopter rides and stuff, right? Yeah,
well, there we've got other things. Like, for example, you got that boat, don't you?
Yeah. So we have a sailing boat at Waterfront Adventures. So that is skippered by a guy called Lucky. It's a schooner, a gaff rig schooner. That boat's been in the waterfront since the waterfront basically started. A proper sailing boat. And then we have Escape Cat, which is our luxurious catamaran.
What is that? Wait. Slow down, gentle Caucasian.
Catamaran.
Catamaran.
Yeah, it's a kind
it
of
sounds
boat.
Like a fruit, like a very expensive fruit. Catamaran fruit.
No, it's a very expensive boat. It's like a very yacht. Nice boat. Yeah. It's that's the luxury way of going.
Is the catamaran boat the one with the three sections? Like it's got the middle section, then
two hulls, right?
Yes, so it's got two hulls, obviously the center cockpit area, then you have the trampoline, which is where, you know, all the women like to go and get the Instagram pictures. As the sunset, you know, sets and you have Table Mountain in the background with a nice glass of champagne in your hand.
I win a
match. Music's blaring and everyone's partying. It's a fantastic boat.
That sounds good. Okay, but the one that Tolas and I are probably the least likely to do is the shark adventure.
Yeah, we're not doing that.
Okay, so this is, and my brother went and did this once and he loved it. So apparently you guys can put us in a shark cage and you can actually go and be right up close to the sharks. Is that right?
Yes. So we have Cape Shark Adventures. It's all the way out in Hans Bay. It's about a 3-hour drive from Cape Town. Basically you get driven on the boat to a marine protected area. They put a cage into the water and then you get to basically, I don't want to say swim, but float around in the water while observing obviously the sharks swimming past you. It's a fantastic experience. You can see anything from great whites to bronze whalers to
where are we when these things are swimming past us. Where are we inside the cage?
Yeah.
You said we're floating, so I'm shocked here. Are we floating inside the cage?
Yes. So in the cage, you're protected on all four sides. And then you have a wetsuit, goggles, and you get to obviously put your head under the water and actually watch the shark swim past, looking at you.
Wait. So now, look, now I come from a township. When I call an animal, it's... When you wanted to go away, it's footsack. Now you are in the ocean. The shark is coming. You can't say footsack. You can't call the bloody fucking. So what are you using to attract these sharks?
So we use a byproduct of the salmon industry. So basically, it's all the offcuts that would normally just go to this basically the scrap or the scrap yard. And then we throw it into the water just enough
meat,
to create like a salmon trail. And then the shark's inquisitive and they come looking around. No, so they come swimming past to see what's the scent and then they go away. Yeah.
Yo, Bangan, yo.
No, definitely. Please, can I have middle center?
I'm definitely not going into. Is that a great white, bruh?
Yes, that looks like a great white.
Yeah.
So tell me something, dude. Gareth and I earlier on were talking about prehistoric animals and scientists bringing back woolly mammoths and T Rexes and stuff. Do you think that the what's it called, the megalodon? What do you call it?
Megalodon. Yeah.
Megalodon. That one on that movie with the
that's a scary ass shark.
Yes, that thing exists, bro. Do you get sharks like that? Be serious, my brother. Please.
What's the biggest one you've seen?
I've seen a 4.5 meter, but it was a bronze whaler. So it's a nice big shark. They're a bit more docile than obviously a great white, but shark's a shark. And when you're in the water, it's a shark's a shark.
It's a shark, Shim.
Beautiful. It's beautiful to see in the water, but also scary.
It is. It's very scary. Yeah, it is. That's the one I'm least likely to do. Okay, mm-hmm. I like the abseiling. I like the waterfront adventures, but you can count Mo and I out of the sharks.
Definitely so, Matt. But what we can say is all the best. Just keep those ears in that cage, my man, because rarely, your ears, if they stick out that cage.
You know what? If anything sticks out of the cage, you got to be careful. Bro. Hand out slightly. Anything, it'll take you out. All right, well, I love this. So,
me too, man.
If you want to find out more, you can go to travel.co.za. You can make your dream holiday a reality, and you can get hold of Thomas Vermaak and the rest of the team at Wild Horizons in Cape Town. I love this.
Travel.co.za.
Yeah. Thank you, dude. Thank you so much. This is great. What you guys are doing is making Cape Town a hell of a lot more interesting.
Yeah.
I'd love to put some politicians in that cage and then you just forget. If someone just forgets to lock the thing so the shark can get
Let's
in.
Let's start with Blade Zimande first. Don't worry, we'll find the cage big enough for Gwedy as well. Please. Make a plan. How can we forget you, Gwedy?
Oh, I love it. All right, Thomas, thank you so much.
Oh, man.
Thanks.
Awesome, man. All right, yes, dude. Shark cage diving. I won't.
I can't do that, Gareth. I don't like. You know when I was.
I don't want to be in the sea at all. When it comes to those other animals that don't want us there,
I can't.
I'll swim in the waves on the beach, but that's about it.
No, definitely. And I want to swim in a beach where there's lots of people, so the shark is confused. Too much meat, like dabbing on December.
Yeah. Too much meat. Have you ever seen those girls in December in Durban where they run in and. Whee! And then they scream and they run out.
That's how we swim. Really?
In the bras and panties.
No, they don't care, bruh. Underpants, it doesn't matter. As long as you can go in the water. It's fine. Some of the people go in with their Garfield night dresses.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
See a swimmer. You know, actually, I'm a very good swimmer, bro. I've got my Eastern Transvaal colors in swimming.
Eastern Transvaal. This is how old you are now.
Yeah, man.
It used to be called the Eastern Transvaal. Yes, sis. All right. Well, did you have to wear a Speedo?
I did, bro. I did.
That's hilarious.
And I was the only kid after swimming who turned gray. Because of all the chlorine. Everyone else was just fine. No, why are you gray, dude? What's going on with you, bro?
You turned gray.
You're fucking black just now. You fucking gray as fuck, dude.
All right, when we come back, we'll talk to Mo about all of his thoughts on comedy at the moment.
Yes.
So much more to talk about, some fun. Some stupidity. It's all on the way. The way you say that, it can even find a cage big enough for Gwet.
Oh, please. Please don't. My stomach must not be exposed to the water. Gwet. To the sharks.
Gwet. All right. That's enough for now. We'll be back in a second. Don't go anywhere.